I'm Whitson Carpenter, and this is One for All, a storytelling partnership between the Community Foundation of Greater Chattanooga and Scenic Roots here on WUTC. This show is about community, building it, challenging our understanding of it, and working towards a more vibrant realization of it in our area. As a Black son of Appalachia, I am tied to our challenges, but also to the beauty of where and who we are. We don't know all the answers or even all the questions we should be asking, but we're listening, learning, sharing, and responding to what we uncover. Let's get to work, family. Last September, I moved into a new apartment. It's close to my job, quiet, not too expensive. I like it. It isn't fancy, but it's solid. And I want to talk to y'all about the fact that I found this place that I really like completely by accident. I was about to sign for another place I'm not even sure was a good option, but after months of searching, it was my best option. You know, when it wasn't crazy prices on mediocre units, just as often it was the process. Sketchy leases, unresponsive context, closed offices, application fees in hundreds of dollars. Now let's keep it 100. This is not and was not a Woodson issue. We're talking about a national issue, a Chattanooga issue, a collective challenge, and a systemic reality. The factors that contribute to housing insecurity can be complicated, and there's a case to be made that it's, well, too complicated. From 2010 to 2020, the median sale price of homes in the U.S. increased 30%, while income increased by 11% in comparison. In 2019, nearly a third of households were housing cost burdened, meaning they paid more than 30% of their income to housing. In Hamilton County, we saw an 80% increase in unsheltered individuals between 20 and 21. And it's estimated that a renter in search of a two-bedroom in some places in Hamilton County would need to earn an hourly wage of at least $21.54 in order to avoid being housing cost burden. Now look, I had options in my search and a lot of support, but what if one factor changed? What if, for example, I was evicted? There are many ways to think about and address challenges around housing in America. But the Eviction Prevention Initiative in Hamilton County, a partnership between us and the Community Foundation, the city, Legal Aid of East Tennessee, Habitat for Humanity, and Cassette Consulting are what we're going to look at today. So, now that we've set the stage, let's get into the conversation. My guests today are Alexa LaBeouf, head of Cassette Consulting, which really takes charge of organizing a lot of the players in this effort, from social workers to attorneys to funders like us at the Community Foundation. My other guest is Benjamin Danford, a staff attorney with Legal Aid of East Tennessee, who leads the effort in the courtroom. I hope you enjoy the conversation. So, Alexa.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Let's get started with the basics, I guess.
Okay.
Tell the people who you are and why we are talking today.
Okay. You know how I feel about the who you are question.
Yes, it's a hard one.
Broad.
Yes, yes.
So hi, everyone. My name is Alexa. I'm originally from Texas. I went to Rhodes in Memphis, so I've spent some time in Tennessee. I am a Chattanoogan for 5 years now, and my background is in education policy and housing policy. So in early 2020, much like the rest of y'all, we were starting to wonder about how the pandemic would affect not only ourselves and our families, but also our local community.
Sure.
Here in Chattanooga. There were two leaders who really understood, based on their background in the court system, that renter households would most likely be disproportionately impacted by what everyone perceived to be a huge economic hit.
Yeah.
With wages and labor taking a massive hit during a pandemic and during COVID. And so due to some visionary thinking, these two local leaders who are still in Chattanooga wanted to start a program, a pilot initiative that would connect tenants facing eviction with legal assistance, free legal assistance, and case management from social workers. And that was a crisis response. How could we try to stave off the wave of evictions that everybody was perceiving would occur at that time?
Yeah.
So the pilot project started very small with essentially the equivalent of one full-time attorney and a social work graduate student who was doing it as part of their practicum and a local nonprofit who was pairing those two assets with some flexible funds.
Sure. As I think we think about this show in general and the work that we're doing, one of the things that I think is important is to remove assumptions, or at least to check assumptions. So I think maybe a really basic assumption is assuming that everybody knows what an eviction is and what that looks like. So maybe if you could give a quick rundown of like, what is an eviction?
Okay, I think I could give like a really big umbrella definition, and then I'll hand it off to our favorite attorney in the room to talk about formal versus informal eviction. So an eviction is just at its very basic core when a landlord moves to remove a tenant from a property. What that looks like and how it looks can vary according to the scenario. So I think I'm just going to hand off to Ben here to talk about the technical aspects of an eviction.
So an eviction is, I like to think of it in terms of the end of a tenancy and kind of the forced end of a tenancy, as opposed to a voluntary relinquishment of the right to be in the property.
Sure.
When I think of an eviction, I think of somebody who has, from a landlord's perspective, terminated the tenant's tenancy. The tenant remains in the property. Mm-hmm. The landlord then files what in Tennessee is called a unlawful detainer suit, which just basically means that the tenant is still in the property, even though that the landlord has terminated the tenancy. That brings up a court case, which is kind of why I'm here.
Sure.
And at the end of that court hearing, the judge will either determine that the landlord is entitled to possession or that the tenant can remain in possession.
Gotcha.
And then when I think of an actual eviction, I think of the ultimate culmination of that legal process, which is 10 days after a judgment in favor of the landlord for possession, mm-hmm. the landlord can get what's called a writ of possession. That writ of possession is served by the Hamilton County Sheriff here in Chattanooga. And that, in my mind at least, is the ultimate culmination of the process, and that is the eviction, is when the sheriff serves the writ of possession and actually dispossesses the tenant from their rented property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like fast facts from Ben. We might have to okay, so we've talked about what an eviction is. So maybe let's jump into a little bit more specifically, how does that process work from kind of front to back?
Okay.
And what do you think is important for folks to know about that?
Sure. Well, the main point of contact, the initial moment that a tenant or a landlord, we've been contacted by both for support, who are seeking information or help during an eviction process, is our intake phone line.
Okay.
That number is 423-710-9432.
Can we get that one more time?
423-710-9432. And that's been our main form of intake this time. Someone gives us a call. They let us know what's going on. And there are really three main ways that we intervene or we support someone who's calling.
Mm-hmm.
One is just referral or advice.
Sure.
So a lot of it is just triage. We can provide a lot of support and resources for folks who are just calling with questions. That's especially true on the landlord front for folks who are trying to navigate rent relief to keep tenants housed.
Mm.
The next is we then figure out whether or not someone's calling, if a tenant is facing an eviction, whether or not it is the notice or the court stage. That mm-hmm. notice stage is when a tenant has received some type of written or formal or verbal notification from their landlord that something needs to change and or a court date will be set.
Okay.
When someone receives an eviction notice, we immediately put them into our system and start pairing them with resources. The goal is to try to avoid the court date. Mm-hmm. So if it's a resource question, we're immediately referring them to the Tennessee Housing Development Agency rent relief portal to just get that process started. We've seen very large checks written to landlords to make them whole.
Okay.
Because of course, COVID has hurt landlords as well.
Sure, sure.
If in the event a tenant does have a court date, at that point, they're immediately connected with one of our attorneys
okay.
to begin a conversation and figure out what's happening in that case. And this program was funded to expand through the City of Chattanooga's American Rescue Plan dollars to include more attorneys, more capacity, and begin thinking beyond crisis response
yeah.
to how does this program actually provide a long-term value added to mm-hmm. how our city is approaching housing and housing vulnerability.
For sure.
So for us, it's a long-term question. What value can we add over the long term? What has this shown us about housing vulnerability? And what can we do to ensure that this is really a cost-beneficial and cost beneficial aspect to how we approach housing vulnerability.
Definitely, definitely. And that's kind of the, you know, the thinking about the whole thing, right, is thinking about this, you know, and this might be a good time to address this quickly. Think about this in terms of holes. Think about systems at play and all these players and actors that kind of contribute to a single moment or a single encounter or something like that. And we'll kind of zoom back out and get to that. But back to the process. So mm-hmm. we've kind of got that first part, kind of that first learning that kind of directs you to say, you know, you go left, you go right, you go down the middle, whatever it may be. We do some combination of both. So after you get that information, after you make that decision, what happens next?
We'll put together a list for our attorneys. And the attorneys are the first conversation that goes in depth. Obviously, I don't have a law degree, sadly, maybe one day, but I cannot give legal advice when you call me.
Yeah.
I can hear your story. I can put the information down. I can, let you know what you'll need to speak to an attorney, mm-hmm. but you're definitely going to need to speak to an attorney to be able to get legal advice.
Yeah.
And so we notify our project team really quickly after we understand what's going on to let them know who they need to be calling and if anybody has an upcoming court date that needs to be prioritized. From that point, the attorneys are the ones who are working on cases and determining whether or not a specific client could or would benefit from social work support mm-hmm. for long-term stability.
Yeah. And so we'll talk to Ben in a moment to look at some more specifics about what that kind of point looks like, but just kind of sticking to the overarching mm-hmm. flow of people and work that goes into this. So you kind of make those connections, you get that list.
Yes.
The attorneys do their attorney thing, and then kind of where does the process flow from there? I'm sure there are some kind of general options or possibilities on the kind of other side.
We can prevent through negotiated settlements. And I think Ben can speak probably more articulately to this. But in terms of the outcomes that we track how many times a case has been negotiated.
Okay.
How much rent relief resources are being utilized to negotiate that case. Mm-hmm. So in our case, we know that 184 households have avoided eviction through this program.
Excellent.
And we have utilized over $265,000 in THGA rent relief funding.
Okay.
To do that. We also know when and how tenants are using local resources, so going to the city, though we do not know the amounts of those resource distribution per each case.
Yeah.
We also know when a household receives an improved eviction outcome. Why that will matter mm-hmm. is even if an eviction is on the record, many times attorneys can negotiate a decrease or a removal of debt obligation, mm-hmm. Which can keep tenants in a cycle of not being able to find new units or not having the cash to negotiate the housing market after yeah. an eviction.
Yeah.
So those are the main things: improved outcomes, evictions prevented, and how we're utilizing rent relief resources to partake in those negotiations. But also, like, this is an important number to track in terms of making sure that our local landlords and our local property managers are also made whole.
Yeah.
This has been difficult for everybody, and being able to understand that better has been important for our project.
Yeah, and I think that's a hugely important point that you've made there, is that there are multiple positive outcomes mm-hmm. that one could see, even if that kind of like ultimate goal of preventing the eviction is not realized. There's still some options that can be potentially beneficial, if not kind of wholly beneficial in the way that you know one party might be interested. There still may be some options to get a little bit more time or to figure out something else.
Yeah, I think it's important to note, like, evictions are not fun for anybody.
Sure.
There's nobody in an eviction courtroom who's like so happy to be there.
Yeah.
Like, that person does not exist.
Yeah.
If they exist, I have not met them in the year and a half that I've been attending eviction court. This is not a desirable process mm-hmm. for any party. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important for this project and for us and for our partners to think through how it is a value added to every single actor and party who is part of this process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I 100% agree. And I think that's, you know, I think that's the beauty of thinking about things in terms of the systems in which they operate, is that you can kind of see some of that nuance, right? If you're mm-hmm. kind of looking at this ecosystem as a whole, it gives us a better ability to see, you know, I do A thing over here and it creates B effect. There are solutions, collaborative solutions in which there are, mutual benefits to be derived for everyone involved or many involved that lead us to a place of increased vibrancy, whether we're talking about a system that works better, a system that works differently, or community members coming together to find solutions to challenges that are, you know, while not maybe specific to a locality, having a huge impact on a locality. So you heard a little bit earlier from Ben with his great definition of evictions. And so we're bringing him back to talk a little bit more about one of those key steps in the eviction prevention initiative process, which is what happens before, during, and after the courtroom process. So first, Ben, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Could you tell the folks a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about legal aid and how those two things go together?
Okay. So my name's Benjamin Danford. I'm a staff attorney with Legal Aid. I'm a born and bred Chattanoogan. And I've taken the head of the legal side of this project through Legal Aid of East Tennessee. Legal Aid of East Tennessee is a LSC or Legal Services Corporation funded entity here that serves low-income and vulnerable populations in this area of Tennessee.
Yeah.
One of our overarching concerns is housing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's one of the priorities for legal aid services.
Okay.
Some of the other things that we do, domestic violence prevention, orders of protection. We do low-income civil legal services. So we don't do criminal work. That's the job of the public defender. But
yeah,
for these legal services corporation entities, such as Legal Aid of East Tennessee, are what has been created to kind of help provide some sort of civil legal assistance for individuals who need it and couldn't otherwise afford the type of services that we provide.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes, the way you describe it, it makes plenty of sense why you and Legal Aid would be involved with something like the Eviction Prevention Initiative. It seems like a really natural fit. And it also kind of seems like a good example of how systems work together, right? You know, that's all happening naturally kind of all the time when we think about systems and systems level work. But you know, the difference, the thing that we're looking at, the thing that this initiative kind of works to do is to think about those relationships on purpose and work to create better outcomes within those relationships. And so we kind of hit on this a little bit earlier, but you know, we're talking about evictions, we're talking about eviction court. So I'm wondering if you could give us kind of, and I know it's more complicated than this, but a high level summary of what that process looks like.
So when a client gets referred to us, for mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. through the EPI hotline, and that client has, well, for example, say they've gotten a notice of termination mm-hmm. from their landlord, and that notice of termination says, you know, client, you've got, you know, till the end of February to be in this property. You still owe me rent for the entire month of February,
yeah.
But come March 1st, I'm going to want my property back.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
all of these cases are very factually driven. So they you know, they rise and fall on their own specific facts. And really the first thing that we're going to want to do from the legal side of things is to just determine where we are in the great scheme of things.
Yeah.
So we'd probably want to see the notice of termination, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If the tenant has a written lease agreement, we're going to want to see the written lease agreement. If the issue is non-payment of rent, or if the issue is something else, we're going to want to determine what mm-hmm. the actual problem is between the landlord and the tenant, and see if we can address that problem. And again, they're all very factually specific. So, you know, sometimes the situation is something as easy as a misunderstanding between the tenant and the landlord. And, you know, the check for rent was in the mail, but it got returned. And now here we are 10 days later. And,
yeah.
And you know, the landlord's wanting his rent money or her rent money. And the tenant thinks that they've paid it, and so there's just a little misunderstanding. Other times the situation is different. There could be another alleged breach of the lease agreement, a whole nother situation. And then sometimes it's just the landlord wants to renovate the property, or the landlord wants to move into the property themselves.
Yeah.
And so there's really not any room to negotiate or to clear up some misunderstanding. At the end of the day, the tenant is likely going to have to vacate. So what we'd really do is analyze the situation and see what rights the tenant has and what rights the landlord has, and then try to basically chart a path if we can that would avoid possibly an eviction filing, a detainer warrant filing, if you will, and a court date. And of course, that it's all public record, and landlords are aware that they can look through the public records and determine whether or not a tenant has been evicted, whether or not they've been sued by a former landlord. And so that's always one consideration. If we can keep the termination of tenancy out of court, I think that is in 90% of the cases, that's a victory.
Yeah.
And so really our first contact is going to be just to establish where we are, what rights are at play, and what we can possibly do. And then sometimes we can address the problems and get everybody where they need to be without going to court. And then sometimes we end up in court, and those are always difficult times, because you know, the at the end of the day, we can make all of our arguments, but the ultimate decision as to what's going to happen isn't really ours,
right?
And so those cases are a little bit more fraught, but again, they rise and fall on their own facts, so it's really hard to say broadly what a typical case looks like. It's been a real game changer, though, that through these project partners that we're working with, that we have resources that we've never had available to us. And a lot of times we can reach a resolution that makes everybody happy, and like Alexa said, is an improved outcome for everybody.
So you talked about, you know, this kind of came up earlier before, and I'm curious, in this process, you know, there's a lot of folks involved in that more, that smaller ecosystem that you're involved in on a more daily basis. And I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about the benefit there, right? So you know, it seems obvious to me, maybe I shouldn't assume that it's equally obvious everywhere, that it's just nice to be able to avoid eviction, right? It's hugely disruptive across virtually all areas of life, right? We're kind of bringing that assumption to this game. You know, there are motivations around that piece right there, right? Creating some kind of intervention so that last piece kind of in your eviction definition, so we can avoid that in some form or fashion. But I'm curious if you could talk a little bit more about, you know, when we're talking about judges, other attorneys, other landlords, in your experience, you know, it seems like a lot of folks are interested in this process working and working well, which may not be immediately intuitive, or folks may think there might be some more adversarial nature to that relationship. But maybe you could talk about, you know, why would a judge like this, or why would a landlord like this, or what's their interest there?
Let me start at least with the landlords. Why a landlord might like this program and having a tenant be represented. I think one of the first things that we can point to is the opportunity to be made whole. You know, so prior to this project being put into place, a tenant who was maybe 2 months behind in rent. Maybe that tenant lost their job. Maybe that tenant has spotty employment.
Yeah.
If that landlord took that tenant to court, They might get a judgment mm-hmm. against the tenant for the unpaid rent, and they might be entitled to possession of the property. Judgments are notoriously difficult mm-hmm. to collect, especially if the debtor, in this case, the tenant, doesn't have stable employment or sure. doesn't have assets that can be seized or mm-hmm. Wages that can be garnished. It's the court gives the creditor, you know, a judgment, but that judgment is effectively just a piece of paper
right.
until it can be collected. And I think that having the resources available to make the landlord whole, I think, you know, that's the most obvious benefit to the landlord.
Yeah,
but I think
sure.
there's some other benefits to the landlord as well. And just kind of outside of the court case, I think the opportunity to have an educated tenant. So, you know, one of the things that we do is we tell tenants what their rights are, and we
sure, yeah.
tell, you know, tenants what their rights are not.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we can explain to them what the obligations of the landlords are.
Yeah.
And we can explain to the tenant just the process. You know, often the unknown is more frightening than anything else. And I think that having somebody explain to you what is going to happen, what is, you know, possibly going to happen,
yeah.
and what the results will be in the time frames, and just giving somebody that that information and that knowledge, I think is really important.
Yeah.
Similarly, you know, from the judge's perspective, and I'm not a judge, and I don't want to speak for the judge or pretend that I'm speaking
yeah.
for any of our judges. It does help, I think, to have represented tenants, because we can make arguments, legal arguments, that will sometimes result in an outcome being much improved. For example, a tenant who was unable to pay their rent but wasn't given the proper written notice of termination of tenancy. Well, you know, the judges will not be able to bring up that sort of argument on their own. They're there to judge,
right, right.
not to advocate for one side or the other.
Sure. There's a limitation there.
And so, you know, when there are advocates on both sides, the opportunity for the judge to basically call a strike, if
yeah.
you will.
Yeah.
A lot of times our negotiations are to try to improve an outcome for a tenant, and that might take place entirely outside of the presence of the judge who's hearing the case. It might take place outside of the courtroom, and so that can also help reduce the number of cases that the judge has to hear. It kind of, you know, makes their day a little bit more pleasant, I would hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the importance of this is establishing these relationships.
I just wanted to build on something that Ben said. You can see just naturally an increase in collaboration and partnership
yeah.
between everybody. And so I think while evictions may feel like a small part of a much bigger system, mm-hmm. what it has allowed us to do is identify how all those systems intersect. And the courtroom is such a unique place to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's present, everybody has different interests. But through this program, we've been able to find that collaboration, because I think at the end of the day, we all want a thriving Chattanooga.
Yeah.
We all want a community that works for our neighbors. We want everybody to have opportunity.
Yeah.
And so what I think the EPI has done is it has allowed us to build a foundation of relationships and trust.
Mm-hmm.
To think about things not in an us versus them
mm-hmm.
combative way,
mm-hmm.
but in a collaborative way mm-hmm. that we can all move forward together. Whether you be a landlord or a tenant, a property owner, a judge, a real estate investor, a property manager, I think we can all benefit from a more fair system that allows us to think creatively about solving this problem.
Yeah, I think we leave that right there. Awesome. All right, folks, that's it for now. I want to thank my guests again, Alexa LaBeouf of Cassette Consulting and Ben Danford from Legal Aid of East Tennessee. If you're a landlord or a tenant that thinks that the Eviction Prevention Initiative might be relevant to you, please reach out at 423-710-9432. Again, that's 423-710-9432. I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen. This is Woodson Carpenter with One for All.
Thank you, Woodson. You're listening to Scenic Roots on WUTC.